Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and oh my goodness, are you feeling a little frazzled? Well, I can imagine that so many of you are looking at the calendar going, oh my goodness, a week from this Saturday is Christmas, and I've got to go here, I've got to go there, I've got this, that, and the other to do before I'm going to go anywhere. Well, we have a wonderful guest today, Gail Casper. And we're going to be talking about travel tips because so many of you are going to be in the airports, and we all know the weather can get a little wild and wacky, but there's some things that might make your traveling a little bit easier. I want to welcome Gail to our show. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Gail, you do speaking all over the country, and before we went on air, I was asking you if you did much international travel, and you said, well, you prefer traveling more in the United States. You do some international, but it's not the biggest portion of your traveling, but you're gone like for half a year, for heaven's sake.
Yeah,
you're just on the go.
It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. I was telling you earlier, I have some of the biggest travel horror stories that I'm sure that a lot of people could relate to.
Well, before we get into that, I want my audience to know about you because you have created a particular program for people. It's called SAD, and I'm saying SAD-T. It means Systematic Attitude Development and Technique. And you really are all about empowering people. But you, on your website, which is GailCasper.com, you have so much good information. And one of the things we're going to be focusing on today is traveling, because this season of the year, between Thanksgiving and January 1, or January 2, actually, I should say, people are traveling all over the place, visiting friends, visiting family. Tell us your worst story and your worst experience regarding traveling.
Oh, I have to probably say the most recent one was the worst one. I was going to Whistler, Canada, which is about 2 hours outside of Vancouver. And you had to take a shuttle from Vancouver to Whistler, Whistler to Vancouver to get back to the airport, which is about a two-hour shuttle, obviously. And I was waiting in the lobby of the hotel, and this was at the end of the trip. I'm in the Whistler Hotel, and the front desk clerk said to me, you know, just have a seat because the shuttle comes in. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Have a seat. The shuttle will come in and get you. And this was like at 6:30 in the morning. So I sat there, and my shuttle was supposed to arrive at about 7 a.m. And, you know, it's 7 o'clock. It's 7:05, and the shuttle's not there. So I asked the front desk clerk, would you mind just calling the shuttle service and make sure that, you know, they're on their way or there isn't a delay somewhere. As it turns out, the shuttle had come and gone.
Right.
Come and gone. And of course, my instinct was, well, wait a minute, I should have waited outside. But he said, it always comes in to get you. So that was number one. So it was then a taxi ride to the airport, and a two-hour taxi ride from Whistler to Vancouver is $300.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. Okay, not done yet.
I'm already just going, I don't know that I want to hear the rest of this, but go for it.
Right. So I get to the airport finally, and I'm settling in, and I could have taken a later shuttle, as, you know, as luck has it, when things go wrong, they do. Because my flight was delayed an hour and a half. I had a connecting flight in Minneapolis, and I got in about 10 minutes before my connecting flight was leaving. And I don't even want to mention the airline, but the airline said to me, oh, Gail, don't worry about it. We know you're going to Philly. We've already alerted the gate. You still have 10 minutes to get there. So I get off the airplane, and naturally I don't listen to them. I'm in the C terminal. I have to get to the F terminal in 10 minutes. So I don't listen to them, and I decide to run. So I'm running to the F terminal. I get to the top of the F terminal. I have to get all the way to the end of the F terminal. When they announce over the loudspeaker, everybody that needs to board the flight to Philadelphia, 4752, needs to be on the plane now because we're closing our doors. I stop and I say to the guy behind that first gate, I say, will you please call the gate? Tell them I'm on my way. He said, well, I'll do the best I can. Okay, so that wasn't not very enthusiastic customer support. So I'm running to the end of the F terminal. And then they announce, Gail Casper, please come to the gate. I'm 100 feet from the terminal, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, I'm here! I'm here! The whole airport is looking at me. I finally get on the airplane, and we sat for 20 minutes.
Oh, Gail, it is so horrible. It's hysterical. It would make a great comedy script.
It would have, and to top it off, I could finally get to Philadelphia. My bags didn't make it.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
This is something. You need to write a book about the things like this, because I have to tell you, I have never had that extreme an experience. I really haven't. And so oh, my goodness. I mean, what could go wrong absolutely went wrong.
It's one thing after the other. And I certainly welcome your listeners to, you know, send me an email. You can do that through GailCasper.com. I'd love to hear your travel horror nightmares. And we're going to put all the names in the hat. And as of January 1, whoever emails us, I'm going to send them one of my free CDs.
Oh, that is awesome.
So, yeah, so send me an email with your travel nightmare, and we'll put your name in a hat for a free CD.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, Gail, let's talk about traveling. I mean, here you are. You're a professional, and I can, you know, I can talk about the shuttle thing because what they'll say is, oh, they always come through this door. But lots of times at the hotels, depending on who's on staff, I mean, I've been in New York City, and I've stayed at a particular hotel, and the shuttles don't always come in the same spot. And
well,
so one trip, it's in the front of the place. The next trip, it's going to be on the side. And I came very close to having an experience like you just related about missing a shuttle, and I just got lucky because they say, yeah,
right,
they come in, but they weren't coming in through the door. They
right,
weren't
right,
there.
Right. And to say that to anybody is usually a red flag. Always is never always.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
And
I mean, I had
the experience of the person, too.
Yeah, I had a situation where I put my bags on the back of a shuttle that was going from the hotel to an airport, and I didn't really want to do that because I only had two small bags and they both had important information in them, but the shuttle was full, so I didn't want to look like the crazy bag lady bringing all of her bags onto the shuttle, so I put it in the back. And here, somebody took my bag off of the shuttle at the terminal before I even got to my terminal. So I got to my terminal, my bag was missing.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, that was
wow.
That was like I went up to the front counter and I said, I have an emergency. I have an emergency.
My goodness. And then that person, now that happened to me once on a flight. This is many years ago. And I picked up, actually, I have to say, though, it happened recently. Somebody's bag was identical to mine,
mm-hmm.
and I picked up their bag, and I said, you know, this doesn't look quite right. And sure enough, I was able to unzip the side, looked at it, and said, no, this definitely is not my bag. So it went back on the carousel. But I remember the first incident that happened to me. Exact same bag. I went all the way home, opened the bag, find out that there was it belonged to some guy.
Oh, my God.
And I got all this stuff in there and go, oops. Fortunately, at the time, I was living in California, and I wasn't all that far from the airport, but I just panicked because
yeah.
I knew the guy had picked up mine.
Oh, my God.
And it was filled with all kinds of stuff, and I'm going, oh, this should be interesting. And he had turned in the bag, and he was waiting at the airport to see if anybody would come back and drop his bag off, which happened. Everything worked out just fine. But these things do occur. And we have
right.
so many people listening, I'm sure, that are going to be visiting family. And one of the points that you bring up, which I think is good, is start planning in advance. Because if you wait until the last minute to arrange what it is you want to take, if you're going for 2 days or you're going, you know, for 2-3 weeks. It doesn't make any difference. You really should think in advance. What is it that when people are traveling, especially in today's world, what do they need to remember?
And there's a couple things that I ask people to think about. One of them is taking care of work, which means that a week and a half ahead of time, you have made a list of what needs to get done, what doesn't, you know, what can wait till you get back. Are there other people inside your organization that need to take care of things? But essentially, you don't want to be waiting until the day before. You're running around the office like a maniac trying to get last-minute things done. Because as it is, there's always going to be last-minute emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, I ask people to think on the outside. You go to your place of business. You might be there 8 to 10 hours a day, maybe longer. What needs to be planned in advance so that you can have a relaxing holiday and be away and just breathe a little bit? And some of that might include making sure that your voicemail states specifically who somebody can contact. You have an autoresponder put onto your email that says that you are out of town until whatever the date might be and when you'll be back. That reports are done ahead of time as far in advance as possible. Why wait till last minute if you don't need to? And if that means putting in a little bit more time ahead of time, then do that. And plan to do that. Anytime we wait until last minute is going to add more stress and ultimately affect our productivity at home when we need to start to plan what we're going to do at home or how we're going to take care of things at home.
You bring up some points, too, that I think are very important, and I'd like to add a little bit to it. If you're going to be leaving an email notice, dependent on what your position is and what you're doing, you may not want them to know that you're going on vacation in that sense. You may say, I'm not going to be available for such and such a time. If you need to, you know, don't give out specifics as to where you're going unless it's a very tiny email list you're sending this to. But if it's going generally out to a bunch of people, be thoughtful about what you say. And it can be very businesslike and just say, I'm going to be unavailable from this date to this date. If you need to reach so-and-so, go ahead and do it. A lot of people are very concerned about security.
Mm-hmm.
And in a business, it's one thing, but a lot of people have home businesses, so you have to be thoughtful. You really do in today's world.
And you're right, definitely right about that, because if it is a home business versus a business location, it's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And the email that I'm talking about is the autoresponder, so somebody actually has to send you an email for you, for that reply to go out.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly it's the person that's trying to reach you, and they're kind of like, why aren't they getting back to me?
Yeah,
they get that auto.
Yeah,
right. They get that autoresponder that says I'm not hearing from this person because they're out of the office. And another way to alleviate that is to leave a name and a number of someone else.
You know,
I'll be unavailable from this date to this date. Contact Susie; she can help you. Here's her number.
I agree. And voicemail on your home office phone if you have a home office. You really don't need to say anything that you're out. You don't want to. You don't want to let people know that you're not going to be there. So what you want to do is just leave your standard mail and just check in as soon as you can and pick up the messages. That's what voicemail is all about. That's what the convenience is. But
now,
you made a suggestion that I think is really good, and that's turning off the water valve.
Yeah,
depending
in your
on
house.
Part of con- oh, that's such a good suggestion.
And it's something we forget to do most often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
yes,
leave the
we
house,
do.
We forget to do that. The other part of that is making sure that your bills are paid before you leave.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want to think about is that you're coming back to late charges or forgotten payments. And believe me, I mean, the things I'm talking about here are things that I have done, and it's unintentional.
Me too.
You just
woo-hoo.
Right. You're just so caught up in going away that you forget to do some of the last minute things that keep everything else going.
Oh, that is the truth. That happened to me on one business trip, and I was gone, I think, a week, and then I come back, and I see these little notices, and I'm going, oh, good grief. This
right.
should have been transferred, and that should have been done, and the other should have been done, and I thought, you know, just happy-go-lucky. You just get into your own little routines, and you forget these little things. Packing light. Now, we're only allowed 50 pounds of bag, and some of the fees on the airlines. There are some airlines, depending on where you're going, they may not charge you for the first bag. They'll charge you for the second.
Mm-hmm.
However, on my recent flights, it was $25 a bag. period. There was no free one-bag stuff. So you're looking at an additional cost there. Boy, you have to really think through about what you're going to take. And usually wherever I go, I have two bags that I have to take with me. And man, oh man, those charges add up if you're not careful.
And it's interesting because, you know, certain airlines do have, you know, you get one free bag and then they charge for the second. But some of those airlines then charge you for priority check-in. So in other words, if I want to go and check in online the day before I'm leaving, if I haven't paid the extra $10 each way, mm-hmm. then I can't check in online. I have to wait till I go to the airport to do it. Mm. So they get you in one way or another. So mm-hmm. it's there's a no-win. But when it comes to packing light, I think now more than ever, I mean, it used to be you traveled, you brought as many bags as you wanted, you just wanted to have everything from your wardrobe available for yourself. And now it's really about being practical, really thinking out, what are you going to need? Checking the weather forecast before you go to make sure that you're packing appropriately. And pack what you need, not more than that, because most often we end up bringing back half a suitcase that we've never even used.
Well, I think, too, having the type of clothing that does travel well can make a difference, unless you've got a special kind of conference or appearance where you have to have a particular attire. I think that there is an industry that could easily grow for especially professionals, women, who want clothing that is going to be extremely attractive. And some of the stuff I've seen for traveling, I thought, good grief, I wouldn't want to bury a cow in that, much less wear it. And so many of the materials that you want to have something colorful or whatever, it's just amazing to me that there are not that many, let's say, designers that really have a sense of style when it comes to having people wear clothing that is going to travel well. It's great if you're going on safari. They have good stuff for that,
but not
for the business person. Do you have any suggestions relative to that?
I do, because even when I travel light and take two small bags that I bring on board with me, I still carry a portable steamer. So it's a little tiny steamer that with whatever I pack, I can use on my clothes whenever I get to my location. And so the other thing you can do certainly is you can roll your pants. I mean, there are things that you can do with that. And, you know, certainly buy fabrics or materials that you feel are going to pack better than others. But my favorite thing to do is bring my own steamer with me.
Okay, well, I used to do that. I don't do that so often anymore because many times I'll have knits that I take with me, and they travel very, very well, dependent on the type of knit that you have. But that's for cooler temperatures. But often, you know, during the summer when you want lighter fabrics, they're going to wrinkle.
Right.
And so having that portable steamer, and if it's become that compact where it's not adding weight, because everything, you have to think about everything that you put in your suitcase, because if your suitcase weighs 15 pounds, weigh your suitcase empty, because you're going to find that you have that you have to subtract from what you're allowed.
Exactly. Yeah,
and
I have one piece of luggage that I love. It's beautiful. I will never take it with me anywhere. It's so darn heavy when it's empty.
Right. I've done the same thing, and I went out shopping for bags, and I will just let my listeners know. You will find that there are pieces of luggage that are promoted as being lightweight, and they are not that lightweight. You put them on a scale. When you're in a luggage store, you have them bring out their scale, and they have little ones that you can hold in the hand, as well as ones that are on the floor. And you weigh that suitcase, because you think you have 50 pounds, you're not going to have 50 pounds of weight. And if you're going to be gone for 2 weeks, you really have to think it through, because if your bag is 15 pounds, that's it.
Right.
You've got to deduct that, and you don't have a whole lot to work with. And I really like what you suggested about making sure that you check the weather, because it's not fun when you go up to Alaska and you have got 16-foot snowdrifts that you have to walk through. You don't want to do that in high heels, thank you very much, or in good dress shoes if you're a man. You want to make sure that you really are ready for that. And that, again, that just takes some thinking. And if you're traveling with kids, what would you have to say for moms? You know, I have such an empathy for these young parents that are taking their children, especially on planes, because by the time they load up their own luggage, load up the stuff for the kids, and the kids are so cute, many of them, if they're walking, they've got their little backpacks today. They're just adorable. But they have these strollers, and these strollers are huge. What recommendations would you make to moms? Because they've got to be prepared for just about everything.
And I think that often families, they learn after the first time they go through the process and how they can, number one, the strollers to maybe have something that's a little bit more compact. I mean, I just saw a dual stroller activity, and, you know, the father wasn't even able to walk it down the aisle when we were going through security. So make sure that it's as simple as possible. And, again, pack the things that you need and plan well in advance. Don't be grabbing things last minute, because then you might forget the important things for the kids as well. So it's really, it involves even more planning ahead, making sure that you're ready to go. Keep it as simple as possible.
I agree. It's one thing when you're traveling in the car where you can stop at places along the way. When you're on a plane, that's not going to be the case. Also, something that is important is to remember that before you get on that plane, if you have the munchies, you better have something with you, because the planes do not provide much in the way of meals. And used to be years ago, actually not all that long ago, where you'd go on, you could even make meal selections. Not anymore. That is all gone. And a lot of them don't even give out snacks.
Mm-mm.
So you better have your own, and you better think about, you know, if you're going from West Coast to East Coast, what are you going to want to take with you? And there's a lot of things that you can carry that are not going to be heavy, that are going to travel well and keep you from getting hungry. What would your suggestions be?
And, of course, I mean, we've reached a point where, you know, you can certainly pack some of the, you know, the Doritos or bags of chips or some crackers. But think about, you know, light snacks, things that are more health conscious. Maybe it is, you know, a light cracker or even granola bars or, you know, a cereal bar, something that's easy to take, but it's not going to weigh you down.
Mm-hmm.
There might be something inside the airport you can also purchase, you know, get a salad to bring on board with you, which I've also done myself, and also make sure that you bring water with you, because you can get so dehydrated on that plane. And even though the plane does provide water or soft drinks, it's nice to have that extra bottle of water when you're on there. But you are absolutely right in that we need to be thinking about these things, because initially I wasn't. I didn't take note of that. And you do get little tiny snacks often on the plane. But one of the, and I have to share this story with you, is I was traveling with someone at one point. They were sitting next to me. I didn't know them, but they were probably the most prepared traveler I've ever seen. They had the handy wipes for disinfecting. They had the lotions and the creams. They had slippers that they brought with them. They slipped their shoes off. They put their little slippers on. They were so prepared with a magazine to read. I mean, anything that made their trip comfortable for them, they were ready to go. And that is the kind of thought process that we want to have when we're going to get on an airplane. How can we make this a comfortable trip for ourselves? Do we have a notepad? Can we write down some notes, you know, journal some things? Is there paperwork we need to get done? There are portable DVD players who pop in a DVD, put on the headset, and watch a movie, you know, even though they don't show them really that much on planes anymore. So just really think ahead in terms of how you're going to use the most of that time. There might be a good book that you want to read. All of those elements help pass the time and even contribute to who you are. They help give back to you in terms of your own personal growth.
Also, people need to remember, if you can, I'm sure many of my listeners already know this, do get your boarding pass in advance. It really helps if you're in a position to do that. It really does save time, and you've got to be at the airport and plenty of time. And I really think that you've made some other good suggestions, that you say do not wrap gifts. Now, here we are. It's the holidays. This is something we like to do. No. You don't do that, because they'll make you unwrap them. And if you're carrying anything that is computerized on your person or in your carry-on bag, you got to take it out.
Right.
If you have a little portable DVD player, so if you have a carry-on bag, and I have learned this, if you've got your computer on the top level, so when you open up your bag, you can take that out and put it in the bin. I always tell people, it takes me a while to get through this stuff, so go around me. And people say, don't worry, I got just as much as you have to take out of the bag. And it's computer stuff. If you have a computerized clock or whatever, they want it out of the bag.
They do, and it's very important that, and again, I've learned this all through trial and error. Because I even put down my boarding pass one time when I was near the security, when I was waiting for my bag to come through, I put my boarding pass down on the little ledge on the top, and I forgot it. I had to go back to find it, and thank God it was there. But
same
really,
thing happened to my husband. Same thing.
So you really want to track all the bins that you use. Like, in other words, if you pull three or four bins, make sure you actually mentally say, okay, I have four. Because you don't want to be rushing up on the other end of the line saying, thinking that you have everything, but then you miss something. And it's that important information. It's that important laptop. It's that important DVD player or cell phone or something that you can't go without. So make sure you mentally track how many bins you are using between shoes, jacket, and everything else.
I agree. Also, I don't know, I've not been traveling since they've implemented this pat-down situation. What has that been for you? Have you been traveling since that has been implemented?
Yes, I haven't had to, well, I did have a pat-down once before. And you know what? Here's the thing. I really, my most important thing today is that people try travel safely. And my biggest concern is that, you know, these terrorists find, you know, more creative ways to get onto airplanes, and they certainly don't care about blowing themselves up. So to me, on my end, I don't care what they have to do. I really don't care if I have to strip. I just want to know that I'm getting on a plane and it's safe. And I know that might be the alternate view of a lot of people, but really, in all the traveling I do, safety to me is the most important thing. And the creativity of terrorists is a scary thing to me.
You say check departures at alternate and smaller airports. It could save you time and money. Now, this would all depend on where you're going to. To research that, what would you recommend for someone? Because a lot of people saying, well, gee whiz, I'm going down to Los Angeles. Well, they may not be aware that there's the Burbank Airport and there's some other airports, the John Wayne Airport, they could go to. How would they be able to make a determination of what would suit their purposes? Because, one, you know, it's necessary often to get a car.
And are you talking about, in other words, flying, if how do I know if there's a Burbank Airport if I think I have to go to L.A.?
Right.
And really, sometimes when you go to even Travelocity.com or any of these websites where you're looking to book your flight, if you try to put in a location, they will deter you because they'll say, we do not have any, you know, airplanes that follow to this destination. But sometimes it's better to start with the place that you want to go and then backtrack from there. Because going online today, you can MapQuest and figure out how far is Burbank from L.A. So as long as you have a sense of where you're going, they're going to kind of detour you to other locations. But I'd say start with your starting point. Where is it that you really want to go?
What is this new program called the Black Diamond Self-Select? What is that?
You know what? I don't know.
Is it something about a security lane that matches travel style? And I'm not familiar with this. You said it's a brand new program, and it's in 45 airports around the United States, and it allows passengers to choose a security lane that matches their travel style. It said TSA informed individuals to move through security checkpoints rapidly, while those who choose casual or family lanes, possibly with special needs, can take their time in receiving assistance without feeling like they're holding others up. Boy, I was traveling early in the fall, and that wasn't there. So when was this implemented? Do you know?
You know what? I'm not sure. It's like you said, I know it's at about 51 different airports now, but, I'm not sure when that was actually put into place.
So if you have a family member, for those of you listening, if you have children, and they do have something like this at an airport, it might be wise to ask the person that is checking your boarding pass, maybe you've checked the bags at the curb, maybe not, maybe you brought them in with you, and ask them if there is a special security arrangement with lines. Because I have traveled at different times, and it seems like every time I go in, they've got new rules, they've got new regulations, and you wonder, what in the world is going on? So you can check on that and find out more. Of course, you could go to TSA, and they would probably have that posted. Well, I know we're out of time, Gail, and this has just been so informative. And, of course, this is just a wild and crazy time of the year for traveling.
Yeah.
Now, people can go to your website, GailCasper.com. That's GailCasper.com.
Mm-hmm.
She has free articles, and there's all kinds of information there. She also offers a free subscription to a newsletter that she puts out. So check out her website, because there's a lot of good detail. It's the top 1% club, and you can join and be a part of that club if you so desire. And she's also giving away a free CD if you tell her your worst experience in traveling. Gail, this has been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much. And wherever you go, I hope you have a chance to stay home long enough before the ho-ho-ho comes in.
Yeah, I definitely will. It's been such a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
It's been a delight, Gail. Again, go to GailCasper, GailCasper.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, welcome back. This is Donna, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do that. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Sally Helgeson. We're going to be talking about female vision. This is a powerfully written book, and I think for women everywhere, it is a must-read, and for guys, it would give a good insight into understanding what the female vision can be. And then, on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Richard Hart, who has a passion about training and educating women about how to be safe, and he's published a book about how to keep your daughter safe.
This is very important. And then on Friday, Bob Curran in Scotland will be joining him there. Bob is so much fun. He is a historian, and he comes up with some of the best stories and best points of information regarding historical items that you would never, ever have dreamed were really for real. So we're going to be talking. We've got a great lineup of people, and I hope you'll tell your friends. And even though I know the holiday season is a busy one and hectic one, I just think it's so much fun when you can take a break and listen to some powerfully, well, special people that we have here on the Donna Sebo Show. It's always a delight. Okay, and don't forget, if you've got that story about the paranormal, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you because your story may touch the life of someone else. So send it to Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. Well, again, our phone number is 888-815-9756. Let's take our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. My initial is JL, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
From Brooklyn. Okay. I bet you it's getting a little bit brisk, but, oh, Macy's and all of the stores must be absolutely gorgeous with lights, are they?
Yes, they are.
New York is one of the most, New York City, I think, is one of the most beautiful places to be in during the holidays. The Rockettes are there, all the Broadway shows, and, gee, the little bit of snow, and you've got magic in New York City. It's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful there.
All right, hon, let's get down to business with you. When I'm focusing on you, JL, there is a determination, and I'm seeing you setting together, or putting together, I should say, putting together a plan of action that you want to start implementing by, I'd say, January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit concerned about you, though, and the reason I'm a little bit concerned is that I'm seeing you so tired. It's like you can hardly see straight. And I think it's just a lot of stress, and you need to make it okay to periodically just not have to have anything on your to-do agenda and be good to yourself and maybe walk around in bunny slippers and a bathrobe and have a cup of hot cocoa or something and just not worry about meeting time agendas, but really closing down, so to speak, so you can relax. If you need to sleep, you sleep. If you want to do crossword puzzles, that's great. If you don't want to do anything, you don't have to do anything. And that's important for you to make okay, because there is almost a tendency, not quite, but almost a tendency of being a workaholic. And that's not going to serve you well, because your body is not going to appreciate it at all. And just remember, when it comes to your dietary concerns, you want to eat good food there. You want to eat well. You want to be sure that you give your body the energy that it requires to get through the day. So if you need maybe some hot bouillon, that's wonderful. Maybe you have a hard-boiled egg with that. I know that doesn't sound particularly appealing, but don't worry about it. You need to be sure that you have something that you can munch on during the day that's going to give you the energy that you need so that you're going to keep alert and be able to do what you need to do, because there's a lot of responsibility that I am seeing you taking on, and you've got to have your energy up there. Otherwise, you just, you know the NyQuil commercial, how when they show people that have colds, they just look like death warmed over? That's how you seem to be feeling, and you don't even have a cold, but that's just how you look.
Yeah.
So you just want to be sure you take care of yourself, because you're not going to get as much done as you want if you don't. And do it now. You really have a nice holiday season here, and you're going to have a chance to have some downtime. So take advantage of it, because when you're rested and you feel good, you get a lot more done. What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me today?
I feel so exhausted because at work, I feel like everyone's attacking me, especially the boss and the administrators that I work with. They're constantly attacking me, and I just don't feel like my work is interesting anymore, and it's just so exhausted. Like, I feel like they're trying to get me out of there, but they want me to quit myself before they can fire me. But they can't fire me yet. That's how I feel. Like I feel like they're doing whatever they can so they can get me out of there as soon as I can.
You know, it reminds me in a way.
Well, it does, but in another sense, it doesn't. What is it they're doing where you feel like they are attacking you? What are they saying to you exactly?
Well, I'm responsible for 4 schools. I take care of 4 schools. Mm-hmm. And on days that I'm not at that school, they constantly send me emails telling mm-hmm. me I have to get this done, I have to get that done, and why aren't you working on that yet, and you have to do this and that, and just constant emails, even when I'm not working at that school.
Well, this is a lesson. This is a lesson that's going to be very valuable for you. So what I want you to realize is that one of the things that has happened with email, people do not organize their thinking as frequently because they're able to just type a line or two and think, off it goes. Then they'll think of something else, think, and off it goes. So I'd like to encourage you to do something. Mm-hmm. When you're getting emails, you know you're not going to be at said school. And what you need to do is that you need to take those emails because each person is very involved in their own individual space. Now, logic mm-hmm. in your mind would dictate, well, for heaven's sake, they know I'm not there until Tuesday. Why am I getting all this other stuff? I've got 4 schools. What I mm-hmm. would encourage you to do is keep a folder on each of the schools. And when they're mm-hmm. bombarding you with emails, if you're in 4 schools during the week, however much time you allot to each one, whatever the requirement is, I would say you need to take the emails and put them together and don't worry about them. Don't say, oh, gee whiz, I've got to do this right now. You need to think because part of what you are in the learning curve about is how do you communicate to these people who are dealing with this instantaneous attitude. And down deep, they know you're not going to be able to respond instantaneously. You're at another school. You cannot do it. So in a way, mm-hmm. it's like a bunch of children saying, me, 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 me. Am I making sense to mm-hmm. you?
Yes.
Okay. So what you can do is don't take this personally. Just mm-hmm. look at the email and send them back a very polite note. I appreciate your note, and you may not mm-hmm. want to answer it that day. You may have to wait 2 days. And if they seem to be irritating in their content, save every single one of the emails. And if it's, you know, organize them by individual or whatever department is contacting you, and then mm-hmm. put them in their respective folders, and when you go to the school, say, I understand that mm-hmm. you are concerned about this, this, and this. There's someone says, well, you just weren't taking care of it. Say, that's true, I wasn't, because I was at this school. I have 4 schools, and I have to take them. And I have to give my full attention to each school when I'm there. So if you want mm-hmm. me to respond to you, let me make a suggestion. Instead of sending me 45 emails, one-liners, mm-hmm. or whatever you're going to send, why don't you organize your thoughts, put it in one email to me, and then I'm going to be able to respond more effectively. And that will save you time, and that will save me time. How does that sound? But you're going to need to work through this. And there's a lot of things there that you are learning right now, so you need to be sort of patient with what you're going through and not be so hard on yourself.
Well, they told me they're actually going to fire me if mm-hmm. if I don't get things done quicker, but I always do as much as I can. I even take work home on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not enough time to do everything because of the
way
the
system
is set up.
Well, and they know that. Yeah, they know that.
But so they told me directly that they mm-hmm. want to fire me if this keeps going the rate that it's going now. So I've kind of thought about quitting lately and going on to something else because this job is just not interesting anymore. It's not exciting anymore.
Well,
it becomes mm-hmm. very stressful.
Well, I think what you need to do, though, is show them a little backbone. The fact, see, if they really wanted to fire you, they could have done that.
But if you're doing your work and you're keeping a documentation on what you're doing, and you keep your records about what they're sending you, and you respond politely, then that is something that you can do, and that you're taking work home on the weekends and doing all of these things. It's no wonder you're so exhausted. So it's thinking differently about this. I guarantee you, once they let you go, they're going to hire someone else, and that other person's going to have the same problem. And it's just the way that it is. And you're right, the system is not especially efficient. They are in a concerned position for themselves. You have to understand, they're working from a position of fear. So if you wanted to actually start job hunting for something else, go ahead and do it. Find a headhunter organization, or two or three or four, and put your resume in and just say, I'm looking for another positioning. This isn't something that I'm particularly excited about. But don't broadcast that you're doing it. And then just look, ask yourself, how could I be just a little bit more efficient with what I'm doing? How can I coordinate things? And don't be afraid to talk back to them. What's the worst thing they're going to do, throw you out the office? They've already told you they're thinking of firing you. You've got nothing to lose, right?
Yes.
Okay, so show them a little backbone and say, I would appreciate it if you have this concern. I would appreciate your telling me, after I give you the information, how you feel it should be done, since there are four schools that have to be dealt with, and I am one person. How would you recommend that it be done? So throw it back in their lap. How long have you been working for them? How long have you been working for them, JL?
Oh, how long have been? I started working for them since September, so it's been about 4 months.
This is actually my first year
as a school psychologist, and it's been really hard. And I've thought about quitting and going back to school for something else.
Well, I'll tell you what. Don't quit yet. You're learning a lot. You're learning a lot. And there's no shortcuts with this. So this is part of your learning curve, too, to demonstrate that you can speak up and speak out. They've already made certain statements, and I think they're trying to call your bluff. So you
I think because during the meeting last week, I told them how I feel, and I think because of that meeting, they want to attack me even more now because of the way I spoke to them, because I just told them how I feel. I didn't say anything in a disrespectful way, but I just told them how I felt, and they're not happy with what I had to say because they just want me to agree with them.
Well, that's all right. That's good to show the backbone. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and you are learning a lot. I have to go on break.
Do you feel that they'll fire me?
Don't go there. Don't even worry about it. That's the worst case scenario. If they wanted to do that, they could have done it already. I don't think they want to do that. Not at this point. Because they've got to go through a lot of hoops, and there's maybe somebody else standing in line. That's true. But they know they've got a learning curve here, and there's no shortcuts to that learning curve. Period. JL, I've got to go, dear. It's time for a break. I want to thank you for your call, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. And find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and oh my goodness, we've got special effects there. Okay, Donna Sebo here. Telephone number, if you want to call in, is 888-815-9756. I know I have a caller on the line waiting, but I wanted to say something quickly. I just have in front of me this awesome, awesome photograph of a place in Milksham, Wiltshire, England. Now, I know here in the States, I know here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a number of humongous light displays of animals and buildings. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible, and we have some neighbors that have just gone really to the max in using lights during the Christmas season. Well, this is about an electrician, Alex Goodhind. He spent more than $60,000 on Christmas lights for his house in this town of Milksham in Wiltshire, England. I was astonished when I saw the photograph. He has over 120,000 lights, and it takes four months to prepare for the display prior to switching it on. I mean, he has figures, he has nativity scenes, he's got all of these phenomenal patterns of Christmas decorations and everything. His whole house is covered, and he's got all kinds of things around the trees. It is absolutely one of the most colorful displays I've ever seen. I wonder what his electrical bill looks like. Amazing! But it's 4 months of work before he can even turn it on. Would you do something like that? No, I don't think I would. I don't have that much energy. Not for Christmas lights, but I'm so glad that some people do. It's really fun to see their accomplishments. We have a neighborhood that is not too far from us that every year people will line up for miles to drive through it, and they take donations for food banks and this type of thing. And the whole, this one particular section of neighborhood, from the ground up, it is decorated. It's just absolutely incredible. Well, let's take our next caller. If you want to call me, 888-815-9756. Yes, caller, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And where are you calling from, first name or initial, please?
Tucson, calling, and Lisa.
All right, Lisa. First thing, by the way, happy holidays to you. First thing that I'm looking at is hard work. Now, you're going to have a little bit, not much, a little bit of a reprieve, but you almost feel like you need to put wheelies on because it's like, okay, bingo, I've got to be ready to hit the road and be going and really have to move. I can't let any grass grow under my feet. And I would say that's probably true. And January is going to be pretty intense as well. So there's lots of conversation that I'm seeing you having with different people. I'm seeing you in one environment where it could be some kind of a party, or it might be a networking group of some kind, and you're holding something in your hands. It could be a glass of water, whatever, and you're talking to this gentleman, and you're being very attentive, and you're listening carefully, and you're sharing some information. So, but this is a gathering. It's not a real large one, but it's one that you're going to find is going to serve you well. It's as if there's very good communication and support with the people that are involved. But you're going to be on the go quite a bit, and I think you're going to find yourself really wanting to bring in some new people into your environment so you can get things done. I'm looking at the clock, Lisa. We only have about a minute, dear. What would you like to ask me?
On employment, do you see me? I was interviewing yesterday with somebody, and I thought I had the position, but then I got a call, and it sounds like they're probably going to offer it to somebody else.
Well, that does not surprise me, because I think that they already had something else in mind even before they interviewed you. So there is something that they were looking for specifically, and they didn't feel that you had the experience. And that's okay. Just move on. Don't get stuck there. Don't dwell on it. Gee whiz, could I have done something different? Just keep on moving, because you do have an opportunity for a positioning, and I'm getting the number 7. So I'm inclined to think it's within 7 weeks. Could be 7 days, but I don't think so. I think it's more like 7 weeks. So keep
Thank
on
you.
Moving.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're just zipping on by. We're just out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We've got a great guest tomorrow. Don't want to miss it. Join us, won't you? Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.